The Hurling Pod on Off the Ball.
No particular order. Happy enough.
Just top five.
Yeah. So we'll go Keane Lynch, TJ Reid, Dermot Burns, Barry Nash, Tony Kelly.
Free wherever you get your podcast. Off the Ball. GAA.
It is full time in Croke Park, and Kilkenny have beaten Galway by 8 points on a scoreline of 322 to 120 to secure their sixth Leinster Senior Hurling title in a row. A late Galway fight back put a gloss on the scoreline here, but it was goals that did the business for Kilkenny. Mossy Keoghan scoring two and setting up TJ Reid for the other. After a tight opening 30 minutes or so of hurling, where the lead swapped numerous times, Keoghan's first goal just before half time put the first bit of daylight between the sides. Galway just couldn't close the gap, and a major issue for them was going 42 minutes with Cathal Mannion as their only scorer. Mannion tagged on 7 points in the spell, where Kilkenny hit them for 2:14 to open up a 13 point lead at one stage. Sean Lennon's 58 minute point though sparked Galway back into life, and they went on to plunder 1-6 without reply as Brian Kincannon goaled. Cathal Mannion made it a 4 point game with a free in the 66 minute, but Adrian Mullen stopped the rot with a point. Man of the match Hugh Lawler won a high ball into the square moments later and set up Billy Ryan for another point before Keoghan killed off the fight back with another poacher's effort of a goal. Kilkenny now go on to the All-Ireland semi-final in the first week of July, whilst Galway enter the All-Ireland series at the quarter-final stage in 2 weeks' time. Full-time score in Croke Park, Kilkenny, the Leinster champions, on a scoreline of 322 to Galway's 120.
Welcome back to Off the Ball Sunday here on Newstalk. Shane Hannan with you through until 7pm. The full-time whistle has gone at Croke Park. Kilkenny are the Leinster senior hurling champions. It is six in a row complete for Derek Ling's side. Tommy Welsh, talk us through it.
Yeah, the 6-0 is complete. There's some really, really scary moments from a Kilkenny point of view. We had about 3-4 minutes to go. Like, to Shane, at one stage, there were 2:19 to 12 points ahead. So 13 points up at one stage. Galway scored the next 1-6. They outscored Kilkenny 1-6 to no score. Brought it back to a 4-point game. It was tit for tat, then right to the end. And then Mossy Keoghan got his second goal of the day. Ball came in high, kind of went around anyway. He got a flick in at the end. So for Kilkenny, there's some scary moments. What really brought Galway back into the game was that goal. Cathal Mannion took a short free from about 35, 40 yards out, found Brian Kincannon. Brian Kincannon soloed through three or four Kilkenny players, got a shot off to the top corner. Hard to beat Owen Murphy on the best of the days, but by God, he beat him there today, and it had to be a good shot to beat him. And Kilkenny are after winning the six in a row, yeah. All day long, I would say, Shane, they looked the better team from play. So most of the Kilkenny team, I'd say, back as far as the number 5 for Kilkenny, scored from play. I think Richie Reid is the only guy from 5 to 15 that didn't score from play here today. And like most of the Kilkenny forwards even scored 2 points or more from play. We left you last after TJ Reid soloed through in the first half to create the first goal for Mossy Keoghan. Well, Mossy repaid the favour. He had a fantastic game right throughout, both defending and attacking. He soloed through, and we heard Brendan Cummins talking during the week after Tipperary had their victory in the under 20, and all their players, Darren McCarthy and all the other players that gave interviews, it was all about the team. It was all about unselfish play, that whatever I can do, if it's good for the team, I'm going to do it. And Mossy Keoghan was straight through. I'd say he was about at the 14 yard line. A less experienced player, a player that wanted to get his name on the score sheet, shot that 9 times out of 10. But no, let's make it certain. So he soloed through, drew the Galway player, hand passed it into TJ Reid, and there was only going to be one result after that. He buried the ball to the right hand corner of the net. So for Kilkenny, we said before the game, would goals win matches? And I think that was the result here today. It was 3:22 to Kilkenny and 1:20 to Galway.
Yeah, an 8-point margin in the end, Tommy, in this one. Topsy-turvy at different points, but as you say, Kilkenny the better team throughout. The late goal for Mossy Keoghan, I mean, very fortuitous, and obviously you feel bad for a young goalkeeper when they make a mistake, and young Dara Walsh in goals for Galway getting consoled by his teammates and Mair Fornia and by Micheál Donoghue at the end. Nobody wants to see that. He was clearly quite upset.
Yeah, listen, these things happen, and you know, I'm not going to dwell on it. Mistakes happen. I made a million of myself over the course of my career, but when you're on the goal, it's just highlighted that bit more. And listen, Kilkenny looked like they were going to win it anyway, so there's no blame going to the goalie, absolutely not. He'll have plenty of good days ahead of him. Every player goes through them kind of moments, and Mossy Keoghan is just one of those guys who's just waits for the opportunity, waits for that mistake. And hurling is a game of mistakes. Free takers miss frees, forwards miss chances, defenders miss the flight of a ball and allow their guy in to score goals. So there's plenty of other mistakes happened all over the field. And there was one particular phase there before that where the ball went in, Galway were on top, huge high ball into the Galway full forward line. They were starting to cause trouble. Young Tiernan Killeen was a sub with number 23 in his back with a yellow helmet. He was fantastic when he came on, Shane, and he really took the game and took the battle to Kilkenny with his pace, his skill and his will to just look for the ball and win the ball. And he scored a couple of points and set up a couple of chances, but that ball went in and Hugh Lawler again rose to the clouds and caught that ball and came out with the ball, and Kilkenny got a fantastic score out of it. Like, if you look through the scorers here today, TJ Reid scored 1-4, so he's still chasing Hoggy. You know, they've got battle. Hoggy has 767 points after last night, 32 goals and 671 points. He is that. TJ Reid, before coming into today, has 7 goals and 40 points to be the top scorer of all time, Shane. So that's what, 27 points in the difference for today. Along my calculations, TJ Reid scored 1-4, which is 7 points, so he's narrowing that gap to 20 points. So there's a lot more to be played. The two of them are into the All-Ireland semi-final, so possibly they'll have the same amount of games left, or one of them reaches the All-Ireland final and one of them doesn't. So that's an interesting battle. And TJ Reid did celebrate that goal as if that, you know, is important to him, and Kilkenny winning Leinster titles is important to him and to all the other players. We've seen them embracing after the game. Paddy Deegan embraced TJ. There was a group of them over underneath the Cusick stand side of the field down near the Hill 16. There's a couple of hundred Kilkenny people still on the Hill 16 waiting for John Donnelly, the Thomastown player, the Kilkenny captain, to lift that cup. Donnelly, a famous name in Thomastown. There he is. The cup is lifted. You're not allowed in the field here in Croke Park. There's no plan B here today like there was last night. And Thomastown captain said before, after they won the county final last year, 2024 will be forever blue in Kilkenny hurling. Well, they get their awards in today, because if you win the county final in Kilkenny, you still get to nominate a captain. And it's a fabulous, fabulous honour for any club, because Thomastown, they've been around a long time. They've been there for years, battling away to come from junior to intermediate to senior. And they had Stephen and they had John out there today, and John is lifting that cup on behalf of the Kilkenny players and the Kilkenny panel. And Adrian Mullen was fantastic. He scored 4 points from play and won high balls, won low balls when the game was there. Mossy Keown scored 2-2. Billy Ryan, who you mentioned earlier on, Shane, he's having the year of his life. He's really stepping up to the plate and showing that he's been around a long time and prepared to take on a leadership role. Billy Ryan scored 3 points from play. As I said, Adrian Mullen got the 4. Paddy Deegan scored. Stephen Donnelly scored 2. Keane Kenny at midfield scored 2. Mikey Carey scored 2. So listen, a fantastic all-round performance from Kilkenny. For Galway, they can be proud that they never give up. They, you know, we spoke about that a couple of games this year where they conceded 11-point defeat or 12-point defeats. I think there was 4 of them already this year. It was looking like it was heading that way, but they stuck at it, and none more so than Cathal Mannion. Brilliant all day long, you know, scoring points, taking frees and setting up that last goal for Brian Concannon. Kevin Cooney, I thought, worked hard all day and was very honest. He scored 3 points. As I said, Tiernan Killeen, he'll definitely put his name forward as in, I want to start on this Galway team. He scored 2 points after coming on as a sub, and I would probably expect him maybe to start when they play the winners of Tipperary. I think Tipperary playing the loser today, which is Laois, so that will be an interesting match, you know, if it ends up being Galway and Tipperary. Many great battles have they had all over the year. So the year isn't finished for Galway, Shane, and the year for Kilkenny people is hopefully just beginning.
Yeah, lovely scenes there of the Kilkenny captain, as you said, and Thomastown man John Donnelly posing with the trophy. A proud moment for him and his family. I remember him saying when he got the captaincy as well that it's never something that he thought would be possible to even captain Kilkenny. So to lift the trophy and get to make that speech at the Leinster final is a great achievement for him and his family and his club as well. You mentioned Hugh Lawler, and I think just before that he was interviewed on pitch as well. Tommy, man of the match. I mean, the balls he was catching in the air, just what made him stand out above the rest today. It was brilliant.
I'm watching Hugh Lawler for a good number of years now, Shane. he was a small guy, would you believe, when he was younger. But yeah, when he was 9 or 10 or 11 years of age, he was tiny. He was like Messi. That's how small he was. And just had a spurt and a growth spurt in his teenage years. And now, like, you know, he's one of the tallest and biggest players, I'd say, in the intercounty game. And he has the speed and reactions of a small guy. So, and the agility, a magnificent agility. So he has these big long arms, like the great JJ Delaney for Kilkenny back all those years ago, and the ball comes in, like, you have a feeling he's going to get to the ball no matter where it is. So even if it breaks, normally you pull backs, maybe you're hoping to win the ball first, get out and win the ball before your man does. But even if Hugh Lawler's guy wins it, he's able to just flick him and keep the ball and keep the man out. He's such a strong player. And I'd say what made him stand out today was his ability in the air, and his ability to attack that ball and catch it in the air. And what it means then to the team, Shane, is that you can go man on man further out the field, and your half backs can possibly follow or push up the field looking for scores. The Paddy Deegans and the Mikey Careys of this world, they can push up, because if the ball goes inside and it is a race, Hugh Lawler can get there. You're not worried about leaving them exposed. And in fairness to them, they're a great partnership, himself and Mikey Carey and Tommy Welch back there. They've been there a good number of years and have defended heroically. And there could have been a few more man in the matches. The top move, Mikey Carey in that second half was simply superb, as Badder graced this field on many the occasion up here in Croke Park. And he's really taken his game to a new level the last couple of months. Other players, I thought Adrian Mullen, I nearly cried myself in Nolan Park. Was that against Galway in the first game? It possibly was. He was back from that long layoff with so many injuries and was going quite well and went down with an ankle injury. And I said, oh my God, is he gone for the year again? And now look at him, back, winning ball, back in his own half back line. But not alone, he's probably changed his game a little bit in that he's not just going back anymore. He's now winning it up in the full forward line as well. So I thought he was fantastic. And of course, Massey Keown, the guy who was in the form of his life earlier on in the league. I was a little bit worried for him because he was so good out the field, centre forward, wing forward, in the game the whole time. Some guys like to be busy the whole time. Massey is definitely one of those players. But when the championship came back and a few more players like Satija came back, they put Massey in full forward and corner forward, where you get probably half the amount of chances, half the amount of possessions. But up he stepped again today with 2-2 and an assist for TJ Reid. And I can't emphasise the unselfishness of the likes of a Richie Power, Noel McGrath, for Galway, even the likes of Joe Canny. These unselfish players, great players, they're not there just to get their own name in the scoreboard. If it's good for the team, and he was 14 yards out, I would have put my hat on him, he would have scored it. No, let's make sure of it. Pass into TJ rattles it. It's good for team spirit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. How important, Tommy, obviously you get to lift the O'Keefe trophy as well, but at the same time, that 4 week gap you get now to the All-Ireland semi-final for Derek Ling, Kilkenny, they're well used to it. Of course, this is six in a row in Leinster that they've got straight through to the semi-finals. Cork will have that advantage as well. It can be a challenge in one way, obviously, but it allows the players, I guess, a chance to properly celebrate winning a provincial title and then reset.
It does, yeah, and allow them to celebrate and, you know, enjoy each other's company today and tomorrow, and kind of, as you said, a reset. Maybe take a couple of days where you go into a recovery session, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, so that you can start building it back up then. Say, start next Monday, it'll be a 3 week build up to an All Ireland semi final. And you're avoiding Tipperary if they come through their quarter final clash. You're avoiding Tipperary, and like any day you go into a battle in a quarter final with Tipperary, it's just a 50-50 battle. It really is. Like, they're on cloud nine after winning the under-21 All-Ireland, you know, they're after winning a lot of All-Irelands, minor under-21 and senior, we'll say, the last 10 years. They're top probably in of the roll of honour in all counties of winning All-Ireland titles in them three age grades over the last 10 years. I think it's with eight. I think they've won eight, maybe possibly lost one. But so you don't want to be playing against them, you know, Darren McCarthy and these guys coming in, O'Sheen coming in from the under-21 age group, then your seniors like Noel McGrath, John McGrath, the form of their lives. And you know, it's kind of a lottery then after that, and then you're only out a week or two later in an All-Ireland semi-final against the Munster champion. So you avoid all that and you can get ready for what's coming. And It's going to be interesting. I don't think the 4 week break will be a challenge to them. There's plenty of good players in there, to have plenty of good 15 on 15 games during the weeks. So I think it's what we needed. It's what was expected, I suppose, coming into this game as favourites, that these young players, that they would go on and do it. And I see Racker Cody down there. How many Leinster championships does Racker have? More than any player anyway. And fantastic serving there. He's in with, for photographs there, with Mikey Butler and Paddy Deegan. So yeah, look, a fantastic day for Kilkenny, 6 in a row. And plenty of more to happen, hopefully, for the rest of the summer.
What are those moments like, Tommy? I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's 10 Leinster senior championships you won in your career with Kilkenny. Quite incredible. And those moments you see on the pitch with the little kids running around, kids of the players, obviously, on the panel with their Kilkenny jerseys on, and moments those kids will never forget and the families will never forget either. But it must be lovely. No matter how many times you win a Leinster championship, it's still a very special achievement for your family, for your club, for yourself.
To win, and there's TJ out playing with his little daughter, fantastic to see. But you cannot beat, and any hurler, any footballer, any sports person will tell you cannot beat winning titles. Winning titles gives you the belief, gives you the satisfaction going home that you're a winner. Because when you win, like, first of all, you go back in October, November, December, you train hard with the hope of helping your team to win titles, and hopefully that you can make an impact on the small days, on the big days, that allow your team to go forward. And I know managers, coaches, players, they will always talk about performance and the stats and KPIs, but to win titles is a special feeling. And that doesn't matter whether it's a Welsh Cup, that doesn't matter whether it's a league, that doesn't matter whether it's a Leinster Championship, an All-Ireland Championship. To win titles means everything. To win a tournament is a great feeling, because you go home and you see the photographs with the plaque, with the Bob O'Keefe Cup, with the Lee McCarthy Cup, with the Mick Mackey Cup. Just special feeling that when you see the numbers after your game, after a season, how do we get on this year? We won the Leinster Championship, brilliant. If you go on and win an All-Ireland again, better again. You have two championships behind your name, behind the team's name. There's a photograph of you there as winners. So to win things, that's what the days you prepare for. And it's not to be all and end all. So don't get me wrong, there's a huge balance, and especially with young players. But when they do come, you have to enjoy them, because they're the crown and glory. They're the results of all your hard work. The reason that you're out in the field playing, three aside in your back garden, trying to score the first 11 points, and you might be 4 years of age playing an 8-year-old. You know, that kind of a way. They're the days that you love playing. And players, I'd even see them training. You bring a match situation into it where you say, listen, there's going to be a winner at the end of this training session, and you keep the score. The intensity goes up 5 or 6 levels. It's unbelievable. And that's whether it's under 14 level or whether it's at senior level. And it could be even 3 or 4 games in the one training session. And hats off to the lads. This will mean a lot to them, to put that Leinster Championship behind their name. Like, I was even looking at Seamus Harnedy last night. Like, does he now have 4 Munster Championships? You know, they're special things that when you look back in your career, that they're lovely to look back and say it was worth it, because not everybody gets to win in All-Ireland. Not everybody gets to win what they want to win. So if there's something there on the table to win it, win it. And don't take it for granted, and don't put it false steam or train doubly hard that week so that you're tired and you don't want to show anyone anything. You go back and look at the league champions last year. Who was it? Clare. Who went on and won the All-Ireland? Clare. You know, after being beaten convincingly later on that Munster final. But I'm sure at some stage it came into their heads, we were able to do it in the big day and we went on and won it. Who won the league final this year? You know, the first time in a couple of years. Cork. Who went on then won the Munster Championship last night against kind of the head. It looked like Limerick were going to do it. Cork. So I always think that winning things, don't ever be afraid of winning things. They will help you. They will help you out, and they'll help everybody out. Go back to Galway, Mihal O'Donoghue, who got involved with Galway back in, you know, the mid-2000s. They went on and won, I'd say, they definitely won the league and championship. I'm not sure, did they win the Welsh Cup as well? Clean Everton for them. So winning things matter. And, so listen, I would never feel, you know, that you're giving away any secrets or you're showing any form. Win it if it's there, Shane.
And the next one Kilkenny, of course, want to win is Liam McCarthy. Tommy, there's a piece in the Sunday Times I was reading earlier today. Christy O'Connor is writing. He says, Leinster hurling longing for share of the spotlight. Munster teams have won last seven All-Irelands and their supremacy leaves the rival championship in the shadows. Kilkenny will really, really want to go that next step further this year, won't they?
Ah, they will, because I suppose for years then, Leinster, we were winning all the All-Irelands. Like, you go from, you know, 2000, you know, 2009, those 10 years. You know, how many All-Irelands did Leinster win in those years versus Munster? You know, that was heavily favoured in the favour of Leinster. So it's Munster's turn at the moment. So absolutely, Christy is 100% right. Leinster people and Kilkenny people and, you know, the teams are in the Leinster Championship, which is Galway as well. They'll be absolutely determined to bring the Liam McCarthy Cup back to their province, because we are a proud province. And when you see, you know, the likes of the Limericks over the last couple of years in Tipperary's winning those All-Irelands, you know, you would say, listen, wouldn't it be great if it came back over this side again? So they will be very determined. But to win an All-Ireland final, as the great Willie Mullen said after one of the Cheltenham races, you have to be in it, you have to turn up to win it. Well, as regards hurling, you have to be in the All-Ireland final to win it. So that semi-final is going to be huge. It's going to be absolutely huge. I'm not sure, is it the first day or the second day? Hopefully it's the first day, because I'm on holidays on the Sunday.
Most importantly.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure, but they're on a Saturday and a Sunday. And that was a glorious idea that was brought in, kind of a super All-Ireland semi-final weekend those number of years ago. 2018 was the first year of it. I remember Limerick played Cork, and I'd say it was Galway played Clare on that magnificent weekend, and that was the start of it. They were a magical weekend. There were huge games. Limerick came through after titanic battle against Cork. There were 5 or 6 pints down, I'd say, with not much left on the clock, maybe 8 or 9 minutes left on the clock, and I, as far as I can remember, Galway and Clare was a draw, and that went to a replay in Turles. So these All-Ireland semi-final weekends are fantastic. And you know, if you were to predict it at this stage, you would probably predict that it'll be Kilkenny versus maybe Limerick, you know, unless, you know, Dublin or one of the Joe McDonagh Cup teams, you know, shock Limerick. You'd expect Limerick will come back to All-Ireland semi-final. What a battle that would be. You know, Limerick and Kenny, we all remember, well, we don't remember, but we've seen the stories and the YouTube clips of 1973 and Limerick winning their All-Ireland against Kilkenny, and then those battles back in 2017, the battle in 2019, and then those All-Ireland finals that Limerick won in 22 and 23. So that will be a phenomenal battle. And then the other semi-final then will be Cork as Munster champions, and what a crowd they're going to bring to Croke Park. I predict that will be a sellout. So it'll be some promotion and some week of build-up, I'd say, to that All-Ireland semi-final. And who will they face? You would imagine it's going to be Galway versus, you know, Tipperary. You would predict to win their games. That's Galway and Tipperary. All form would suggest that will be Tipperary, but you never know in those games. So that will be a magical semi-final to look forward to. So yeah, a great couple of weeks ahead in the Senior Hurling Championship.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Tommy. Brilliant work yesterday and today. Thanks a million for everything, Tommy.
Shane, best of luck.
Fair play, best of luck, safe home. Tommy Welch there at Croke Park with us, calling the action this afternoon and bringing us up to speed on the game that saw Kilkenny become the Leinster Senior Hurling Champions for the 6th year in a row. Kilkenny, 3 goals and 22 points. Galway, 1 goal and 20 points was the full-time score in that game. So an 8-point victory for Kilkenny in that match.
We had a disappointing result for you in the end. Last season, you for a long period, how would you summarise the game?
Yeah, obviously disappointed with the result. I think up to in the first half, I think it was cagey enough. It was, what, 10-9 coming up to half-time, and then obviously Kilkenny get the goal to have a 4-point gap at half-time. And then obviously at half-time we tried to address a few things, and look, the priority was to try and come out and attack the game, which we didn't, and which was disappointing. And obviously Kilkenny took full advantage and showed the experience that they have. And I think then obviously when they had that reflected on the scoreboard, you know, they're set up with maybe their six dropping off as a sweeper, and we really struggled with that. And then I thought when we pushed up and figured that out, and then we started being a bit more dominant in our own half back line, got back into the game, brought it back to four, and then the concession of the 1-1 really quickly just took the wind out of the sails again.
You mentioned the Kenny number 6, Richie Reid. He was very much alone for a long period. You'd be probably reflecting that maybe you should have pressed up a lot earlier and not allowed that amount of space, because he was creating a fair bit of deliveries into the Kenny attack.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Any reason why you didn't press up on him?
Look, I think when you're looking at them, look, he drops off the whole time. Obviously, it was something that we had discussed. But I said, look, in the second half, when they had that gap, it was easy for them. And as I said, when we figured it out, we came back into the game a bit. I think from our point of view, in terms of the way we wanted to play, we just didn't from the start of the game. And look, you have to give all the credit to Kilkenny, and you know, they showed the great experience that they have. And equally, look, we knew coming up that it was going to be one of the biggest challenges we had all year. So we would have been disappointed, obviously, that, as I said, we didn't implement our own style on it. And yeah, the reliance on Cahill, you know, he showed how important he is again today to us. And I think maybe in the first half we were lorrying it from too far out, and Hugh Lawler was dominant in it. And I think, look, the positives, and we have to take the positives out of it, when we did get it going and working it through the lines, we were better.
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny one. You know, it was so close until Mossy Keown got that first goal, and then it's a 4-point game again on 66 minutes and you're right back in it.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of what you're trying to build in Galway, do you feel like you're far away looking at that? Because at times Kilkenny were so far away from you.
Yeah, and absolutely. Look, and as I said, we weren't, you know, in the build-up to it, you know, people are saying we're back and have big opportunities. And look, we've huge belief and trust in the group. The disappointment thing is, you know, when you see what they did do for a 10-minute, 12-minute period in the game, that's the positives we're taking out of, and that's what we'll try and build on as we move forward.
How would you characterise, Micheál, where you expected Galway to be before the season began to where you are right now? I mean, has it been a bigger job for you than you had anticipated?
No, I wouldn't say a bigger job. Obviously, look, the disappointment of today, and I suppose the narrative will be that, you know, it was probably similar to previous years and previous teams. But look, we know what we have in the squad, and I said we'll try and take the positives out of today as we move forward.
What do you do here? What is the game plan as such?
Sure, the boys will probably go out and let off a bit of steam tonight, and then we regroup and go again.
It's temporary.
Yeah, look, huge challenge again. But I said, we know it's going to be a big task, but look, as I said, we still have full faith and trust in the group that we can bounce back. Okay. Concussion.
Sorry.
The concussion.
Hello, Gary. Six in a row, hosting for a long period, and then I'm not sure who might be able to tell us, but talk about the game. How you saw it?
Yeah, look, I think pretty much like that, Nicky. You know, we were performing very well for large parts of it, and you know, Galway got a bit of momentum then. They were picking off scores. This is really like the top class forwards, and they picked off some very good scores. And I suppose the goal, there was very disappointing how that happened. You know, we would have been very disappointed with that and how we conceded that. And I suppose that gave Galway a great lift at that stage, and the momentum was with them. So I thought our response was very positive though at that stage. You know, we got back into it, picked off a few scores. So. And just settled back into the game. You know, we probably made a few changes at that time as well, and it just looked like we kind of lost our shape for a few minutes. But overall, just pleased how we finished the game then as well.
Gary, generally the first half very flat.
Yeah.
What do you put that down to? I mean, neither side really wanted to go at one another as you might do in the provincial final.
Yeah, I think it was just a little bit cagey in the first half, and I think both teams had, you know, probably disappointing wides. Look, what you put that down to, I'm not sure, a little bit nervous or whatever, and just settling into the game. But, you know, we finished that half strong. I think the goal was, you know, was an important score for us and gave us a bit of breathing room. We started the second half very well, and, you know, we were strong for large parts of the second half. But obviously, there was a spell there that we'd be disappointed with. But look, today was about getting the result. The performance overall was decent, I thought. You know, we know there's a lot of room for improvement, and, you know, we're going to a knockout phase now. It's everything ramps up, and, you know, we have a few weeks that we're going to have to really utilise and work very hard and get the heads down for the next day.
Did Richie really give him a huge amount of space? Adrian Mullen allowed to do a lot of the wandering around the field. Galway didn't beat them up. Did that surprise you?
Well, look, every team, I suppose, look at Galway had players back to field as well, and to be fair to Richie, he was, you know, pushing up, but he's very good at sitting back when he needs to as well. And like Adrian's game is just, he's working back to field an awful lot, and he's excellent at doing it. But, you know, from our own perspective, you know, you're looking for work rate from our half forward line in particular, and Adrian was one of those, and, you know, he did a huge amount of work today.
Hugh Lauder, one of the great exhibitions of fullback today. I mean, it's reminiscent of some of the great players in the past. He goes up like a gazelle in the air to get the ball. It must encourage you on the sideline.
Ah, yeah, look, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant skill to have, and, you know, somebody that can attack the ball and just pluck it from the sky like that. And he was excellent, and gives a lift to everybody around him as well, that confidence that you have in a fullback. But, you know, I thought the effort, not just from Hugh, from, you know, everybody that was involved, was excellent. I thought our work rate was very good. And maybe it dipped a little bit there, but I thought, you know, a bit of resilience there to take back the game under our control near the end was very positive as well.
And last for me, you named Shane Murphy in the subs, and obviously young Cody wasn't named. So where are they going? Would you think both of them would be ready for selection the next day?
Definitely. Look, Shane is just back, and it was a different type of injury. There was no kind of concerns about Shane really in the last week. Owen was cutting it very fine. He's not too far away at all. So we just didn't take a chance on him today. If he had to have a setback, that'd be zero over. So Owen is actually looking very strong. So hopefully, you know, the next couple of weeks we'll bring him on an awful lot. So hopefully we'll have him the next day.
Eric, do you think you've been properly sort of road tested now over the expanse of the Leinster campaign?
I think we have. Look, from the start of the Leinster campaign, you know, we're always spoken about as being favourites, but we put a huge amount of work into each game, and we prepare for each game, you know, like any other. It doesn't matter who you're playing. I think it's probably taken for granted that we're going to go win these games, but a huge amount of work goes into it, particularly from the players. They do it all, and, you know, we've been working very hard at that, and... So I suppose I don't want to, I'm not sure. I mean, we've been tested in different games at different stages. We lost to Wexford and Dublin, you know, we would have been disappointed with a spell in that game as well. And likewise today. So regardless of who we were playing, we know we're going to have to find another gear or two for the next day. And that's the reality of it. But that's something we'll go after, and we're looking forward to that. But, you know, we took this campaign very seriously, and, you know, we got our reward today. We're Leicester champions, and that was the objective. But at the same time, we know we've got a lot of work to do.
What do the next couple of weeks look like for you, Derek, after maybe tonight? Obviously, we've no idea who's going to end up in the All-Ireland semi-final, but after last night, it could be Limerick.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. So I suppose, look, we'll make a few plans the next couple of days now, but, you know, the next few days we'll take off, and we're back then for recovery maybe midweek. And, you know, it's getting the heads down again. We've a lot of, like I said, we've a bit of work to do now, and there's competition in the squad as well, which is really good. You know, like I said, we've lads coming back from injury, and some lads didn't play today, and it was marginal calls, you know, for the first 15. So that's what we want. We need that competition there in the squad. And so, yeah, look, we'll enjoy the next couple of days, but after that, it's really heads down now.
We hear so much about that in squads, especially at the top level of hurling, that it's the standards are set inside, and the rootlessness in training is a big thing. Can that just switch on, or does something in particular have to happen in the next couple of weeks for that to go up a few gears?
No, look, this year we've had a very competitive squad, and training has been really good, and we've had that competition. So we just need to probably pick it out up again. Like during the campaign, you don't really get a chance for lots of games, and you know you're going week to week, so it's really about recovery more than anything else. But in the run up to Leinster campaign, we had a good run at it, and you know, I thought, you know, coming into the first game against Galway, we had a lot of work done. I thought we hit the ground running, and you know, we need to get back to that now and use the next couple of weeks to build that momentum again and raise the standard as well. So but look, it's a great place to be, and you know, the alternative was out, you'd be out in 2 weeks and it'd be do or die. Now we have a few weeks to prepare and get ready for a semi-final.
Derek, personally, you seem to be a magic number in modern day hurling, 1-9 in the first half, 2-13 in the second half. So now going forward to Ballard in the semi-final, I mean, all games seem to have to get more than 20 points now, so you're capable of that. They did look like for a while, but you got it, and got it up to 23 and they thought it. So it is a magic number, how is it?
Yeah, look, it seems to be all right, and look, we would have been disappointed with some of the wides in the first half, but you know, we're asking for players to be brave as well on the ball and to go for it, and if you have a wide or two, just to keep going as well. You don't want lads to stop shooting just because you've had a wide or two. So we know we're going to get the chances again, and just have the confidence to go for it. And
you did get a few nice quality long range scores, but you didn't go for it.
Yeah, we did. So look, it's not conceding as much then on the other side, so you know, there's two parts to it, but you know, working on both at the minute. But yeah, pleased enough with, you know, our shooting, and particularly in the second half.
Three goals,
yeah.
Eric Maskey finds two goals, probably the end of crucial times in first half and second half. So have that kind of momentum from some corners.
Yeah, definitely. The goals are massive, and you know, they give you a huge, huge boost to everybody, really, and especially on the pitch. And there are crucial times as well, particularly the last goal that just kind of killed the game off as well. And Mossy's been in, you know, there's a skill in being in the right place at the right time as well, and he followed, I think it was the two goals in, and they were really important, particularly the one before half time as well. Just gave us that little bit of breathing room and that bit of a cushion starting off the second half.
You was mentioned TJ Hunt. Experience paid it off with the Kennedy. That's a fair comment, even though the team didn't play well as a unit. Hugh Lawler, for what he did and the way he got, I think the four great balls that he did win in the game, he got four scores off him, so that was huge.
They were massive, yeah. Look, I remember particularly one, he came up to the field, and I think Billy Ryan finished off as a super scorer. And look, he was a fantastic player, and like very athletic, and you know, he can, you know, he strode up the pitch and you know, use it really well. I suppose for any fullback coming out there, it's important that he gets it to somebody on the same team, because you're turned over. The whole, you have to be careful of that. But it was a great score, and yeah, look, they're an experienced set of backs as well. They've been, you know, there for the last couple of years as well, and worked very well as a unit. And look, it's you know, it's about the team all the time, and defending together and attacking together. So you know, he was well able to travel up when he needs to.
Did you catch any of the John McDonagh Cup final a little earlier? Former teammate of yours leading Kildare over the line.
Yeah, look, they had a fantastic win. Yeah, I just saw a couple of minutes of it. I think they were a point or two down, and but they looked like they were coming, you know, back into the game at that stage. So it's a fantastic, fantastic achievement for Brian and Kildare. It's a huge, brilliant story, I think, for hurling as well, and for Kildare and all the work that they put in the last number of years. So great to see that happen.
Ask your impressions of last night's Ulster final, Derek.
It was great to sit back and just enjoy it. It was an excellent game. I thought, you know, there wasn't great excitement in it. Felt sorry for them having to go to penalties, all right, at the end. But look, a great way for Cork to you know, to finish up. I think, and the winning team, when you come out on top in penalties, it doesn't matter how you win it. But yeah, like, could have went either way.
Would you prefer not to see the penalties yourself?
I think it's hard on players. I think at the end of, you know, I think, you know, a replay would have been, but, you know, that's, I know we have a new system in place and we're kind of caught for time. I just think we're a little bit too caught at the minute. But in saying that, it made for a great spectacle as well, you know. But I think, to be fair to players, I think a replay would have been more fair to them.
Off the ball, GAA.